It's time for the truth. Will you join me in the study of the precious Word of God that we may come to know and come to grow in the Lord Jesus? We're in the book of Genesis, Genesis chapter 46, Genesis 46, verse 28, and we're going to read the end of the chapter, and then we're going to enjoy part of the 47th chapter too. So please that you open your Bibles and prepare for the study today, Genesis chapter 46, verse 28. While you're doing that, I'd like to share with you that this program is brought to you by the folks at Parkview Bible Church. We're located over in Hamilton, Illinois, at 18th and Church Street. We're just one block north of the Dairy Queen, and I'm the pastor, Larry Mulch. If you would like to write to us, our mailing address is Parkview Bible Church, Post Office Box 43, Hamilton, Illinois, 62341. Hope that was enough time for you now to open your Bibles and prepare for the study today. Genesis 46, verse 28. And he sent Judah before him unto Joseph to direct his face unto Goshen. And they came into the land of Goshen, and Joseph made ready his chariot and went up to meet Israel his father to Goshen and presented himself unto him, and he fell on his neck and wept on his neck a good while. And Israel said unto Joseph, Now let me die, since I have seen thy face, because thou art yet alive. And Joseph said unto his brethren, and unto his father's house, I will go up and show Pharaoh, and say unto him, My brethren and my father's house, which were in the land of Canaan, are come unto me. And the men are shepherds, for their trade hath been to feed cattle, and they have brought their flocks and their herds and all that they have. And it shall come to pass, when Pharaoh shall call you and shall say, What is your occupation? That ye shall say, Thy servant's trade hath been about cattle from our youth even until now, both we and also our fathers, that we may dwell in the land of Goshen, for every shepherd is an abomination unto the Egyptians. Then Joseph came and told Pharaoh, and said, My father and my brethren, and their flocks, and their herds, and all that they have, are come out of the land of Canaan, and behold, they are in the land of Goshen. And he took some of his brethren, even five men, and presented them unto Pharaoh. And Pharaoh said unto his brethren, What is your occupation? And they said unto Pharaoh, Thy servants are shepherds, both we and also our fathers. And they said moreover unto Pharaoh, For to sojourn in the land are we come, for thy servants have no pasture for their flocks. For the famine is sore in the land of Canaan. Now therefore, we pray thee, let thy servants dwell in the land of Goshen. And Pharaoh spake unto Joseph, saying, Thy father and thy brethren are come into thee. The land of Egypt is before thee. In the best of the land make thy father and thy brethren to dwell. In the land of Goshen let them dwell. And if thou knowest any man of activity among them, then make them ruler over my cattle. And Joseph brought in Jacob his father, and set him before Pharaoh. And Jacob blessed Pharaoh. And Pharaoh said unto Jacob, How old art thou? And Jacob said unto Pharaoh, The days of the years of my pilgrimage are 130 years. Few and evil have the days of the years of my life been, and have not attained unto the days of the years of the life of my fathers in the days of their pilgrimage. And Jacob blessed Pharaoh, and went out from before Pharaoh. And Joseph placed his father and his brethren, and gave them a possession in the land of Egypt, in the best of the land, in the land of Ramses, of Pharaoh had commanded, as Pharaoh had commanded. And Joseph nourished his father and his brethren and all his father's household with bread according to their families. And there was no bread in all the land, for the famine was very sore, so that the land of Egypt and all the land of Canaan fainted by reason of the famine. Joseph gathered up all the money that was found in the land of Egypt, in the land of Canaan, for the corn which they brought. And Joseph brought the money unto Pharaoh's house. And when money failed in the land of Egypt and in the land of Canaan, all the Egyptians came unto Joseph and said, "Give us bread, for why should we die in thy presence? For the money faileth." And Joseph said, "Give your cattle, and I will give you for your cattle if money fail." And they brought their cattle unto Joseph, and Joseph gave them bread in exchange for horses and for the flocks and for the asses, and he fed them with bread for all their cattle for that year. And when that year was ended, they came unto him a second year and said unto him, "We will not hide it from my lord, how that our money is spent. My lord also hath our herds of cattle. There is not aught left in the sight of my lord but our bodies and our lands. Wherefore shall we die before thine eyes, both we and our land, by us and our land, for bread, and we and our land will be servants unto Pharaoh. And give us seed, and we will, that we may live and not die, that the land be not desolate. And Joseph bought all the land of Egypt for Pharaoh. For the Egyptians sold every man his field, because the famine prevailed over them. So the land became Pharaoh's. And as for the people, he removed them to cities, from one end of the borders of Egypt even to the other end thereof. Only the land of the priests bought he not, for the priests had a portion assigned them of Pharaoh, and did eat their portion which Pharaoh gave them, wherefore they sold not their lands. Then Joseph said unto the people, "Behold, I have bought you this day and your land for Pharaoh. Lo, here is seed for you, and ye shall sow the land. And it shall come to pass in the increase that ye shall give the fifth part unto Pharaoh, and four parts shall be your own for seed of the field, and for your food, and for them of your households, and for the food for your little ones." And they said, "Thou hast saved our lives. Let us find grace in the sight of my lord, and we will be Pharaoh's servants." And Joseph made a law over the land of Egypt unto this day, that Pharaoh should have the fifth part, except the land of the priests only, which became not Pharaoh's. Israel dwelt in the land of Egypt, in the country of Goshen, and they had possessions therein, and grew and multiplied exceedingly. And Jacob lived in the land of Egypt 17 years. So the whole age of Jacob was 147 years. And the time drew nigh that Israel must die. And he called his son Joseph, and said unto him, "If now I have found grace in thy sight, put, I pray thee, thy hand under my thigh, and deal kindly and truly with me. Bury me not, I pray thee, in Egypt, but I will lie with my fathers, and thou shalt carry me out of Egypt, and bury me in their burying place." And he said, "I will do as thou hast said." And he said, "Swear unto me." And he swore unto him. And Israel bowed himself unto the bed's head. Let's begin with prayer. That was a lot of reading, but I wanted to read to the end of that chapter. Dear Father, please that you will guide and lead us now. It is a wonderful time and opportunity we have to study your word. And we go back through or all the way into the book of Genesis here and beginning. But the story and the birth of the nation of Israel is right here and now. We have talked about Abraham and Isaac and now Jacob. And Jacob's name was changed to Israel. And now they have moved from Canaan, from the promised land. They have moved down into the land of Egypt. And in this land is where they will really multiply. And as we see, they have 70 souls, and they will leave Egypt with millions. Please, dear Lord, show us this. It's a beautiful study that you have given us. I just thank you for the day. I thank you for your Son, the Lord Jesus, as he's touched our hearts. I ask that you will touch every heart. And you will touch every heart in such a way that people will know and recognize that they're sinners and they're lost and they're dying and they're on their way to hell. Please, dear Lord, that you will show them the way of salvation, and that is through Jesus Christ. Please, that your Spirit today will touch every heart. Show them their sin. Show them the way of salvation to the cross of Calvary they'll be, and they'll find their way to Jesus Christ. Please, today they trust, come by faith to Jesus and by faith alone, that they will be saved and begin to walk a life, a true life, living. Please, dear Lord, show us your way and will today as we have this study. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Wonderful, as we've read 31 verses in chapter 47, and then we read from the 28th verse through verse 34 in chapter 46. And as we look at this taking place, we find, as all the names, and we look back into the other part of this chapter 46, and it begins as they collect with their families and prepare for the trip. And we start with Reuben in verse 8. Simeon in verse 9 is Reuben, and 8 both, I guess. Verse 10 is Simeon. Verse 11 is Levi. Verse 12 is Judah. Verse 13 is Issachar. Verse 14 is Zebulun. We come down to Gad in verse 16, Asher in 17, and we find Joseph and Benjamin in 19. We come down to Dan in verse 23, and then Naphtali in verse 24. And if you count those, I believe you'll find that to be 12. There are 12 sons that come down with Israel into the land of Egypt, on to Goshen, we find. And all the souls that came with Jacob into Egypt, which came out of his loins, beside Jacob's sons' wives, all the souls were 66, which would be 66. And then we total them of 70 as we look at Jacob and his family that is present there. And you'll find that as we look on into the New Testament, you'll find it to be 75, and it's believed to have added the wives as they totaled 75 souls. He sent Judah before him unto Joseph. Now, as we find them arriving, remember they had taken the wagons that Pharaoh had offered to them. They had sent food and supplies up with wagons and ability to haul everybody back. It's kind of like sending the moving crew up to help and to move. And what a wonderful blessing this was for Jacob. And again, it kind of took seeing that before he really believed. And if you'll look at verse 4, I will go down with thee into Egypt, and I will also surely bring thee up again, and Joseph shall put his hand upon thy eye. And Jacob rose up from Beersheba, and sons of Israel carried Jacob their father and their little ones and their wives in the wagons which Pharaoh had sent to carry him. They took their cattle and their goods, which they had gotten in the land of Canaan, and came into Egypt, Jacob and all his seed with him. And what a report as that was taken place. Again, he questioned it, and then when he told them, I guess in his verse 27 and 28 of chapter 45, they told him all the words of Joseph, which he had said unto them. And when he saw the wagons which Joseph had sent to carry him, the spirit of Jacob their father revived. And Israel said, "It is enough. Joseph my son is yet alive. I will go and see him before I die." What a wonderful opportunity. And then we find here, again, we jump from that all the way to this 28th and 29th verse, because we find Joseph preparing to meet his father. And so we find them arriving, and the sons of Joseph, which were born in Egypt, and the two souls, all the souls of the house of Jacob, which came into Egypt, were 70. And he sent Judah, verse 28, before him unto Joseph, to direct his face unto Goshen, because that's where they agreed to go. Goshen was a very wonderful land to be for their flocks and herds that they had. And they came unto the land of Goshen, and Joseph made ready his chariot and went up to meet Israel his father to Goshen and presented himself unto him. And he fell on his neck and wept on his neck a good while. Look at the wonderful opportunities that's taking place here. Look at finally, for the first time, Joseph is able to see his father Israel. And it was a wonderful homecoming, even though the homecoming's kind of backwards. Israel came down to Joseph, down into Egypt. You would think that Joseph would have went back up into the land of Canaan. But you see, with Joseph's position and him being in the place of authority that he was in, he really was probably not allowed to leave the land necessarily, but he did have enough strength and power to invite his family down and to watch this wonderful reunion take place. And that's what we have in verse 29. And Israel said unto Joseph, "Now let me die, since I have seen thy face, because thou art yet alive." He, over here in the verse 27 and 28 of chapter 45, he finally came to the acknowledgement that, yes, Joseph is alive, and now finally he has seen him, and he says, okay, you know, I have felt like, you see, Israel has had a miserable life. He has been sad all of his life. From the time that Joseph come up missing, thinking he was dead, and then the desire of taking Benjamin away, which was one more step, he has lived much of his life, very sad. He was heartbroken over this loss. And we find now that he says, "Now that I've seen you, I can die now, since I have seen thy face, because thou art yet alive." Joseph said unto his brethren and to his father's house, "I will go up and show Pharaoh, and say unto him, My brethren and my father's house, which were in the land of Canaan, are come unto me. And the men are shepherds, for their trade hath been to feed cattle. And they have brought their flocks and their herds and all that they have. And it came to pass when Pharaoh shall call you and shall say, What is your occupation? That ye shall say, Thy servant's trade hath been about cattle from our youth even until now, both we and also our fathers, that ye may dwell in the land of Goshen, for every shepherd is an abomination unto the Egyptians." Now it seems like in closing that chapter out, that there's a question, being a shepherd is an abomination to an Egyptian. Now we find in the next chapter that they make it very clear that they are sheep herders, they're shepherds. Well, the purpose that I believe God had directed Joseph to say this was to keep them separated. He did not want the Israelites, the sons of Israel, to intermarry with the Egyptians. So the best way to do that is to put them in a far land and keep them away so that they will not intermarry, so they wouldn't even really see each other. And so this land of Goshen was a great land. And so, but up here, we are told that a shepherd is an abomination unto the Egyptians. Okay, we find that even an Israelite is an abomination unto a Egyptian. I mean, they wouldn't sit together, wouldn't eat with them, things like that. So there's many things that appalled the Egyptians. And yet, because of God's grace, because of what God has allowed Joseph to possess here, the position he's allowed him to have, we find that Pharaoh literally just hands this good land, this excellent land, unto the Israelites. The Pharaoh does that, and through the means of Joseph here. And so we find a couple of things. He tells them, he said, you tell them, it seems that he's saying, you tell them that you are a carer of the cattle. Well, we find down the line in the next chapter that Pharaoh turns his cattle. Would you care for my cattle? And so we find that takes place. So up here, it's kind of a mixed message as far as tell them that you're a carer of the cattle, for being a shepherd is an abomination. And yet later in the chapter, he says they're shepherds. And it's clear they have cattle and they have sheep, both of them alive. And so here, why, when we find a couple of things needs to take place. Number one, they do have an occupation. You see, they are not down here to mooch off of Pharaoh and just to laze around and do nothing. They are coming down to Goshen. And yes, this has been a wonderful opportunity, because you'll find that even all the lands of Egypt are barren. It has been 7 years of plenty, and now we're working through the 7 years of this terrible, terrible time of no food, no grass, no nothing. And each time it seems as though that by Joseph's leadership of God, Pharaoh has stored up enough to sustain everybody through this 7 years of famine. And we're watching that take place. And right now we find the herds, sheep, cattle both, as Israel has brought down his family into the land of Egypt, and they're into Goshen, and they're talking about what they do. And one thing they are good at, and that is herding cattle as being shepherds. But he made it very clear here that a shepherd is an abomination. Now, let's kind of follow that out. So there's a couple things here. Number one, I believe he wanted the separation. Number two, we'll find them that they are going to care for Pharaoh's cattle. And so they will be working. The scripture is so clear. If you don't work, you don't eat. If you don't work, you don't eat. And I don't know what that does to our welfare program, because if you don't work, you don't eat. It's just a very, very simple, simple way. Now, in verse 1 of chapter 47, then Joseph came and told Pharaoh and said, "My father and my brother and their flocks and their herds and all that they have are come out of the land of Canaan, and behold, they are in the land of Goshen." They were agreed that that's where they would take them and place them. Now they're in the land of Goshen. And he took some of his brethren, even five men, and presented them unto Pharaoh. So we have a part of the brethren here are going before Pharaoh. And Pharaoh said unto his brethren, "What is your occupation?" Oh, remember up here that question was going to be asked. What is your occupation? And they said unto Pharaoh, "Thy servants are shepherds, both we and also our fathers." And they said moreover unto Pharaoh, "For to sojourn in the land are we come, for thy servants have no pasture for their flocks. For the famine is sore in the land of Canaan. Now therefore, I pray thee, let thy servant dwell in the land of Goshen." Again, it was kind of down and separated. Pharaoh spake unto Joseph, saying, "Thy father and thy brethren are come unto thee. The land of Egypt is before thee. In the best of the land make thy father and thy brethren to dwell. In the land of Goshen let them dwell. And if thou knowest any men of activity among them, then make them rulers over my cattle." See, there's a combination here of things going on. And immediately here, upon their coming, Pharaoh said, "You find some good people. You put them in charge of my cattle." And Joseph brought in Jacob, his father, set him before Pharaoh. And look what happens. Jacob blessed Pharaoh. Boy, there's a combination, isn't it? You think of Pharaoh being a continual enemy of God. And yet in this situation, because God has sent Joseph ahead, many years ahead, to prepare for this famine, because you see, the people of Canaan, including the family of Israel, would have died. They would have died if not been for God's provisions, for the leadership of God in bringing Joseph down into Egypt, and then bringing Joseph up into this position, and then bringing Joseph to a place that Pharaoh would listen to the dreams, the answer to the dreams that Pharaoh had. Joseph was able to answer those dreams, and those dreams came true. Always a prophet of God, it'll always be true. We need to look to the Word of God. We need to trust in the Word of God, not in man, in the Word of God. And just because you've been taught something in the past maybe from very, very young, and you're holding on to that, and you said, I can be saved through my baptism, I can be saved through my confirmation. No, you can't. You'll be saved the day that you come by faith to Jesus Christ. That's the day you're saved. Only then can you be saved, the day that you meet Jesus Christ and ask Him into your heart. And that can only happen when you hear the Word and the Holy Spirit convicts your heart and draws you to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, brings you right there to that door, and pleads that you will come to the cross of Calvary and trust in Jesus Christ by faith. This was a plan to sustain, to keep the family of Israel. The same with us. The plan of salvation has been given to sustain us, to save us, to keep us, to give us life. The very reason that Israel, that Joseph was allowed to come down into Egypt to save Israel, to give him life, to sustain him, and he did that. We're dead. We're dead in our trespasses and sin. We have to have Jesus Christ to have salvation. We have to have it. That's the only way. And He will save us, and He will keep us. What wonderful. And here we find this provision of God that brought Joseph down early, then brought Israel, Jacob, on down into the land. And here we find the wonderful work of the Lord. And it's a strange thing here when we find Jacob blessed Pharaoh. Pharaoh said unto Jacob in verse 8, How old art thou? That's kind of a personal question. And Jacob said unto Pharaoh, The days of the years of my pilgrimage are 130 years. He's 130 years old. Few and evil have the days of the years of my life been, and have not attained unto the days of the years of the life of my fathers in the land of their pilgrimage. I want you to see that. Isaac was older. Abraham was older. Yet Jacob felt that his life was years of evil. And the reason was is because early on we find Joseph taken away from him, and that broke his heart. And his days were sad. You know, it's too bad that we don't trust in the Lord. Jacob should have known. Again, his name is Israel. He should have looked and trusted in God the Father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, that there was a purpose for this, and please that you will show me, because my heart is broken. I miss my son so much. Please that you would help me and direct me. Instead of that, we find this man living literally a very sad and miserable life for years. He wasted his life. I hope that you don't waste your life. Maybe you've had terrible tragedy in your life, and you just say, there is no way that I can be joyful. There is no way that I can be happy. Yes, there is, if you look to Jesus Christ today and trust in Him and walk in His way. Because sometimes there are many things that come your way that really, really upset you. And every one of us have lived through it. But please, we need to see that joy and peace and excitement can come in Jesus Christ if we look His way. Joseph missed that, and his statement here is, I have lived, my years have been evil. My years have been most miserable. And that was a terrible statement, 130 years. And then we turn around and again says that, you know, my father, my grandfather Abraham, my father Isaac, both lived many more years than I have. And Jacob blessed Pharaoh and went out from before Pharaoh. So twice. He did it at the beginning in verse 7, and now you find it in verse 10. And Joseph placed his father and his brethren and gave them a possession in the land of Egypt, in the best of the land, in the land of Ramses, of Pharaoh had as Pharaoh had commanded. And Joseph nourished his father and his brethren and all his father's household with bread, according to their families. What a wonderful opportunity that we have here as we enjoy and we look at this beautiful story, the beautiful truth, history that has taken place in the building of the family, the nation of Israel. And we're finding it to begin right here. I hope that you have not missed this study. I hope that you have not missed Jesus Christ as your Savior, because you need to see Jesus. You need to know Jesus as your personal Savior. Not just know about Him. You need to know Him as your personal Savior. Now, my dear friend, as always, I ask you this wonderful question. And that question is, what are you going to do about Jesus?